This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on upcoming assembly elections in Jammu and Kashmir and Haryana. The participants are K.V. Prasad, political analyst, and Lalima Aneja Dang, anchor.
Recently, Election Commission announced dates for legislative assembly elections in Jammu and Kashmir and Haryana. While the Jammu and Kashmir elections will be held in three phases, Haryana elections will be held in one phase only on the 1st of October. Well, for more on this, we are now joined by senior journalist, Mr. K.V. Prasad. Mr. Prasad, welcome to Akashvani Studio.
Thank you for having me.
Mr. Prasad, as it always happens, once the Chief Election Commissioner announces the dates, the Model Code of Conduct comes into place. For the benefit of our listeners, what exactly is the Model Code of Conduct?
Well, a Model Code of Conduct is an agreed set of ground rules by all political parties, though there is no legal binding. It is an agreement with all political parties where they have worked out on a code which will ensure a level playing field. So the moment the Chief Election Commission announces the dates or the schedule, the Model Code of Conduct kicks in and remains in force till the houses are constituted. The essential, as I said, is the agreed set of ground rules so that nobody gets into an unfair advantage. In addition, it falls upon the Election Commission after that to ensure that the Model Code of Conduct is adhered to, and thus any party is denied an undue advantage. In particular, the government of the day, because even though we announce the elections, the government of the day continues till the new government is formed, the new house is constituted. At the same time, we want to ensure that no government makes some grand plans and announces grand plans which will give the party in power or party which is governing an advantage. So that is one, it brings in a check. But that does not mean if there are any issues, in particular if there are some spendings required which are of urgent nature, which cannot be postponed for various reasons, the government of the day in the state or in the center can go to the Election Commission with its request and give out reasons. And the Election Commission takes an informed decision whether to permit or not. The idea is you don't deny the people if they require some immediate assistance or some kind of intervention from the government. But largely, it is to ensure a level playing field among all parties who are in the contest.
So this becomes a part of fair elections, of which we are so proud of as robust democracy in the world.
Absolutely.
Mr. Prasad, let's talk about Jammu and Kashmir first. This is the first election since the territory's special status was revoked and its statehood withdrawn in 2019. What do you make of this election scene now?
Well, this is an election I think everybody is looking forward to. A, as you said, this will be an election, the first after the revocation of Article 370 in the state on August 2019. And of course, post that, the government had promised that whenever the conditions become conducive, elections will be held. So they carried out the delimitation because it is no longer a state, it is a union territory. Just to jog the memory of our own listeners, and is the erstwhile assembly had 117, I think, assembly seats, 100 plus, of which only we held elections for 87. Of that, now four have been removed because those four seats went to the unitary of Ladakh. Now, of the 83 that were left, we carried out demarcations. And post this, now it is a 90-member assembly in the unitary of Jammu and Kashmir, for which elections will be held. And I think about seven seats are marked for the Schedule 5 in constituency. So that's the importance of that.
There are three-member delimitation commission was formed by retired Justice Ranjana Prakash Desai, and they published a report on the 15th of May, 2022. Six seats were added for Jammu and one to Kashmir division. And now the total seats in J&K Assembly is 114, out of which 24 seats are for Pakistan-administered Kashmir. Of the remaining 90 seats, 43 are in Jammu and 47 in Kashmir. How do you see the changes post the delimitation commission and this new configuration?
Well, I think the whole idea is it's a delimitation commission. The commission sits, there's an elaborate process in place. The commission meets people on the ground, political parties and other people, comes up with the redrawing of the boundaries. And the whole process involves an objections to be raised by political parties or whoever is interested, that why is my colony here and why is my colony not there. All that kind of is taken into account. And once the delimitation commission finalizes reports and publishes it, new constituencies are drawn, and based on that, we have elections. And we have 90 seats, and also the other seats, as you mentioned, we keep for the part occupied Kashmir. Now, this is a practice that was already in vogue in the previous state assembly, where we kept a certain number of seats for the part occupied Kashmir. We all know it's an inalienable part of India, and there is a parliament resolution on that issue.
And how significant is the fact that now we have reserved seats for scheduled castes and scheduled tribes?
Well, I think this is in line with the national policy that you have reservation, but because of the previous Article 370, Jammu Kashmir had a different special status. Now that is removed. And also, we know as a country, we have been following this path right since the independence, that the scheduled castes and scheduled tribes, people who have been disadvantaged for various historical and other social reasons, should be joining the mainstream of national mainstream. And one of the most important steps is political empowerment. So I think by reserving these constitutions for scheduled tribes, in particular, so it will help the those people who have been put at a disadvantage because of the earlier rules, now to draw advantage from what the rest of India does.
For a long time, we had Article 370 in place in Jammu and Kashmir. As I mentioned earlier, this is the first time that elections would be held with the abrogation of this article. How do you think the election scenario would have changed? Because now the Lieutenant Governor is in charge and it's definitely going to be a different scene now. So as far as the arrangements are concerned, as far as the entire system is concerned, how do you see the change in the election scenario?
Essentially, I think what has changed is the constitution. From the statehood, it has become a union territory. So thereby, the center, which is the Union Home Ministry, is directly responsible because the Lieutenant Governor reports to the Union Home Ministry, the Union Home Minister. So in turn, it is directly supervised. Governance of the state is administered by the Lieutenant Governor in pursuance of powers drawn under the acts that are there. So here, that is important because earlier there was a state government. The state government was responsible for law and order, whereas now the law and order and everything in the state, not exactly. Just law and order, everything in the state, which is not a central subject, which was in the state, now everything comes to the center.
Do you see a change in law and order also because of that?
No, I think so. Law and order is what we have been witnessing in the last 5 years. There have been reports coming from the state that law and order has improved. There's a lot of quality of life. People are experiencing a new kind of life. There are reports that have come from time and again. Of course, what is a matter of concern in the last few months, there have been reports of infiltration, there have been reports of terror attacks, which I'm sure the security forces and the law and order machinery in the state are keeping a very close vigil. That is something which I think also reflects in the fact that the Election Commission has to keep the polls in the three phases, because you need the security forces on the ground to ensure that people find the atmosphere safe and secure for them to turn out at the polling booth and exercise their franchise without any fear.
That has been a challenge, certainly. You know, we still see violence in parts of Jammu and Kashmir, although overall the things have improved. And the tourism had really gone up in the last few months and years, rather. Coming to this further, Mr. Prasad, we saw the voter turnout was the best in the last elections at about 58%. How do you think things will fan out this time?
Well, I think we should all expect that the turnout would be more, if not the same, as compared to the Lok Sabha elections, partly because the people of the state have got an opportunity to speak through the ballot after 10 years. The last elections were in 2014, and then, of course, 2019, the situation changed. So a decade later, remember, in a decade, a whole new generation joins. So a new generation has its own sense of aspiration, sense of entitlement, sense of looking at things differently. So those are the issues that will be there. Plus, I think these Lok Sabha elections are an indicator. Surely the people of the state want to say something through the ballot. And we've seen that happen in the Lok Sabha elections. So I think we should anticipate, and most importantly, as I said, once they feel secure and safe and the kind of security forces on the ground give them protective ring, the numbers should be more, if it's not the same.
Yes, in the last 30 years, in the last elections, the voter turnout number was highest at about 58%. Let's see, and let's hope and keep our fingers crossed that the number increases even more this time. Let's move to Haryana, Mr. Prasad. Today we have a Chief Minister, Mr. Nayab Singh Saini. For the last 10 years, BJP has been ruling Haryana. Do you see an anti-incumbency factor?
Well, that is what we read reports on. Remember, 10 years ago when the BJP was voted to power, it did very well for the first 5 years. It ran a government on its own. But in the 2017 elections, the things started going downhill. Changes were made, but they managed to stay afloat. They did not get the majority of their own in the 90-member assembly. I think they were short of numbers, which was then the comfort was provided to a coalition partner in the Jannayak Janata Party of Dushyant Chautala, who is the grandson of the legendary Devilal. Now, though that things have changed in the last 2 years, they snapped ties closer to the elections. We saw the Lok Sabha elections after 10 years, the 2014, the BJP managed to win all the 10 Lok Sabha seats. 2024, they just picked up 5, or the Congress rested 5, whichever way we tend to look at it. So the BJP has a challenge at hand. A, as you pointed out, anti-incumbency remains a factor. even probably the political report suggested that one of the reasons for changing the then Chief Minister Manohar Lal Khattar and placing Mr. Nayab Singh Saini was part of that to dent, remove some anger of the people, if at all, on the anti-incumbency. There are other issues which have been dogging, which political parties have been flagging during the Lok Sabha elections. Some of them remain unaddressed, or the political parties, especially the Congress, which is wanting, having spent 10 years in opposition, the party leadership is very keen to wrest back controls of the state governance. So I think it's going to be a very keen tussle out there.
The state has more than 2 crore voters, of which this time 4.52 lakh voters will be new ones. How do you think would be the issues in front of these new voters?
Well, what we have been reading is, obviously, you see, young voters, they have aspirations. They look at the future ahead. So parties which promise to do something for them, promise them a bright future, promise them some kind of a change in the way things are. It is not more of the same, rather something else. So that is what they look, because today's youth is no longer, they are well tuned in what's happening all around the world. Mm-hmm. They've been very well connected. They're very updated on stuff. They know what's happening around the globe, what is happening in the region, what's happening to them, what is happening to the people of their age in other parts of the world, other parts of the country too. So mm-hmm. it's but natural, their aspirations have to be catered to. And no wonder, once we see the manifestos come out, there'll be a lot of, I presume, there will be a lot of offerings from political parties which want to woo these young voters, especially the first-time voters, onto their side of the camp. But that's what politics is all about.
Haryana and sports are inseparable issues. And when you talk about the first-time voters, you think sports as well as governance both would be in the minds of young voters?
Sports is an emotional connect. Let us accept it. Irrespective of the fact you may be from state or not, for instance, these Olympics, we did not bother from which state they came, we rooted for the Indian athletes. So sports remains an emotional connect. Of course, the state and the people of the state take greater pride that person from their state contributed to the national kitty and brought the national pride. So that is a fact. So sports remains an emotional issue. But I think more than sport, it is always the bread and butter issue that really matter. What happens to my future? Will I get employment? Will I get a better opportunity to apply my trade? Or what kind of conditions do exist? Where do I go from where I am? So where do we go from where we are? So I think these are the issues that any youth wants to look at, wants the governments of the day to address. I think the same would hold true for Haryana too.
We have about 90 assembly constituencies in Haryana Legislative Assembly. Mr. Prasad, what do you think is the major difference between Lok Sabha elections and assembly elections as far as the issues are concerned?
Well, issues may remain more or less constant in case of Haryana as it appeared to at the start of the elections today. But let us also remember that people of any state, for that matter, this is my understanding and experience of covering national politics for almost 3 decades, that people of the states do know they are voting for a government that is going to govern them in the state. But when it comes to Lok Sabha, they know they're going to elect a government which is going to run this country. So they are discerning enough. There have been any number of instances where elections to the Lok Sabha and the assembly have been held together. Different parties have been voted to power. There have been any number of instances. So that shows that people know what they want at the center, whom they want at the center, and whom they prefer at the state. A change of guard, whether that has been able to arrest any kind of adverse understanding of their functioning, all that will come into play. Plus, the other many factors, the opposition is already building, trying to build a narrative. So those are the issues that remain. But as I said, Haryana Lok Sabha was probably an indicator, because 5-5. 2014, the BJP won all 10 seats of Haryana. By 2024, 10 years later, they just won 5. Or the Congress wrested 5 more seats from BJP. So that should be able to tell you some way the wind is blowing. But you never know. Elections are elections till the last vote is counted.
That's right. In fact, they're always very, very unpredictable. We've seen how the exit polls sometimes go in totally the other direction of the actual results. Well, thank you, Mr. Prasad, for enlightening us on JNK elections and the Haryana elections, which are coming soon. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on upcoming assembly elections in Jammu and Kashmir and Haryana. The participants were K.V. Prasad, political analyst, and Lalima Aneja Dang, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.